greetings to each one of you this morning. It's a privilege to be gathered together here this morning in this way, and it's a privilege to honor the King of Kings this morning. It's an awesome opportunity, so thank you for the opportunity to do that. We had somewhat of a busy week this week. This was the week when we were asked to be at seminar for Servant Institute. And so Janet and I left Monday around noon and were there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, half of Thursday, and came home Thursday evening. So it was a good week. And I just want to say thank you to the church. You blessed, whether you recognize it or not, you blessed your pastor by sending him to Servant Institute. And so thank you for the financial gift that you gave to make that possible. And I just appreciate it. And it was just a good week to sit with good men and women that love the kingdom of God, want to see it grown in our hearts and in the congregations that were represented there. So just a little highlight of some of the things that were presented there. There was many different speakers, different things that were brought out, but one of them was to love, enable, and develop the people in your organization by Gerald Miller. So I got to sit under teaching of how to love, how to enable, and how to develop people in your organization. We'll see how that all works out, but I was inspired. Love for People by Val Yoder. Delegation and Enabling Individuals by Gerald Miller. A Worldview Model and the Five Fundamental Questions by Stephen Brubaker. He explained modernism, postmodernism, Eastern thought, you know, just a lot of good stuff. Trustworthiness by Melvin Lehman. Open Communication Minimizes Exceptions. Another one, Moral and Ethical Failure by Merle Burkholder. Very challenging. My takeaway was, one of the things to push against moral failure is to be accountable, to be open, to be vulnerable. So, very good. Listening and Caring by Merle Burkholder. Working Together as a Husband and Wife Team by John Koblenz. Soul Care by John Koblenz. Working Under Ineffective Leadership by Val Yoder. He used the example of King Saul and David. Conflict Resolution, John Koblenz. Issues in Church Leadership by Melvin Lehman. So just a lot of good stuff, just packed full. If you're hungry for expanding your own heart and expanding faith in the works, I mean, in the principles of God, I invite you to engage yourself. Winter term is, there's actually a bulletin on the, I put a thing on the bulletin. Winter term is open. I don't know if they're still taking things, but there's a 5-week winter term. You can sit with some of these men. You can expand your, so. And then they asked us to do an exercise, and it was to prepare a 5-minute speech and then share it in front of 23 other men like yourself. And then 8 or so mentors. And it wasn't to inspire them. It was to be critiqued by them. And so I had to prepare a 5-minute message and then give it and then sit there and hear what they thought about it. So good stuff. Yeah. So they critiqued what was good and bad. You know, it wasn't just all negative. Like, they liked that. They liked that I had a personal touch. They liked that. One thing that they thought I could do is to be strong all the way through my sentences. And I've been noticing it too, that one of their projects is that you're supposed to video yourself and then watch your message. And so some of my own personal feedback is that I don't complete my sentence. And so anyway, God is good. I'm glad of the expansion that God has given us, that we can be expanded, we can understand things and grow and have other men that are willing to sacrifice. These older men are willing to sacrifice their time for the benefit of others. So yeah. So if I don't finish my sentences today, you're welcome to critique me. It's the week of critiquing. You can bless your pastor by critiquing him. Thank you. Well, this week, I think we're still going to keep diving through Ephesians. Feel like the Lord is leading us to continue understanding his ways in Ephesians by the love and care that Paul had for the church. Many of us know that we've been doing this for, I think it's close to a year now that I would have started this. I should have looked back for sure, but it feels to me like it's close to a year. And this looks like to be like the eighth message that we are digging out of Ephesians. And it's good. Because as we go through these first chapters in Ephesians, we see the love that God has for you and I. As Paul describes to the church of Ephesus that God is for us. God is in love with us. God has made a way for us. He has predestinated us. He has forgiven us. He has... And I trust that you are being nurtured and lifted up because of those realities. Whether you experience it or not may be one thing. But my encouragement here again this morning is that, like Paul, my heart is that you would know and understand the love of God and the love that he has for you and I. Because when that is our foundation, when that is why we live the Christian life, it really helps the end goal. We can do the works of God when we understand the love that he has for us. And you know, God's heart is, so God's heart is deeply in love with you. And like Jesus wrote to the church at Ephesus, oh, that you would come back to your first love. You know, and it's when we understand that love that God has for us, and then we reciprocate that back to him and reciprocate that back to others, that's when the glory of heaven is glorified in our lives, is when we love, when we accept his love, and when we love others, and we love him. So let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. One of the three things that I'm hoping we can discover as we go through this portion of Scripture, and that is, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Hopefully we can answer some of that. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Another question I'm hoping we can answer is, where are the unsearchable riches of Christ found? Because if they're unsearchable, it kind of alludes to searching, but where can they be found? Where are the unsearchable riches of Christ found? And then once we find them, how are they accessed? How do we access the unsearchable riches of Christ? And so, the Lord willing, our intent here this morning, my intent is to answer those three questions. Please rise with me as we read these scriptures. The plan is to go all the way through 21 in this message this morning. So Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given me, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him, faith in Christ. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, and the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Please remain standing as we ask the Lord to illuminate his word here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, there's lots of depth here. Like your word says, oh, that we would understand the length and the depth and the height. Lord, we invite your spirit to reveal that to us this morning so that we can comprehend and that we can know even things that are beyond our understanding, and that the mystery could be revealed to us here this morning. And Lord, would you send a special touch for those that need that reality of your love and your unsearchableness this morning? Would you come and minister to them this morning? We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So our last message that we had, I think a little bit of a month ago, we were looking at the mystery that Paul was. Remember, Paul was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was called to share the mystery. And here, as we go into these portions of the scripture, I think we hope to dig out more of that mystery of what it's really about. Verse 8 says it like this: unto me whom am less than all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. As you think about that, I invite you to think, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Let's name a few. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? You know, and as you glance down through chapter 3, it takes a little bit of digging. At least that's how I found it. It takes a little bit of digging to, what is it? And I'm not so sure that it's all found even in this passage. Any thoughts? What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Eternity of heaven. Mm-hmm. Eternal peace. Internal peace. That That's an unsearchable, how's it say? That's unsearchable riches. Wow. His love for those that rejected him. Unsearchable riches. Are there more? But Paul wants us, Paul's desire for the church at Ephesus was that they would understand this. And Aaron just said that it's uncomprehendable. Is that a paradox or what? It's part of the mystery of God, isn't it? Are there more? Did you think of others? The unsearchable. Yeah, absolutely it is. Especially if they're all engaged in firing on all of them at the same time. That's heaven on earth. And heaven on earth is unfathomable. That's unsearchable. Are there more? Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Is that one of the unsearchable riches of Christ? That he will have mercy on men that, like Lyndon said, men that have rejected him, men that have turned their back on him, like even Jonah. Jonah found himself turning his back, and yet he calls on the Lord, and Christ shows up, and God shows up. That's unsearchable. That passes understanding. That passes our natural makeup. Hallelujah. Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" But what I want to bring out is the riches of his goodness and forbearance. I think that's one of the unsearchable riches of God. His goodness to men that reject him. His forgiveness to those that have sinned against him and others. That's an incredible riches. So thank you. Thank you for discovering some of those unsearchable riches. And that was Paul's desire and mission, that he would preach that to the Gentiles. And that's my desire this morning, that we would understand, that we could also have that mercy and understand the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's a song that talks a lot about, oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. May our hearts be inspired by the Lord Jesus this morning about that. And then verse 9 goes on, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery," talking again about the mystery of the unsearchable riches, "which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." The next verse we'd like to hone in on is verse 10. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." And so the things that I'd like to draw out from there is moving a little bit away from the unsearchable riches now. We're transitioning a little bit more. We're going to be honing in a little bit on the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. A different version of that verse described it to like this: "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. To who? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, as we read it in our King James Version, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. But this other version seemed to allude to that the church is showing principalities and powers in heavenly, the principalities and powers in heavenly places. The church is showing the manifold wisdom of God. That's another mystery that you and I here this morning at Joy Christian Fellowship can show to the heavenlies, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the manifold wisdom of God. And if that's the case, we're communicating the unsearchable riches of God. That's amazing. Really, Lord? Are you calling us to communicate to principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God? Well, are you saved this morning? Who's saved here this morning? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Look at all those hands. Where's... Hallelujah. Why? Are you saved based on your own wisdom? You are saved because the manifold wisdom of God. And when the heaven sees that, and when the demons and the angels see that God forgives you and puts you in right standing, that's manifold wisdom. Hallelujah. Manifold wisdom. That blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, and he's doing it in you and I's life. Isn't that amazing? He's destroying the principalities and powers in your life, and that's showing the manifold wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, when we are faithful to the calling of a Christian, we are communicating to the heavens. That's exciting, that we can be co-laborers with God. And the only reason we're co-laborers is because he has loved us. He has forgiven us. And he made us in right standing with him. Now, let's move forward. All right. And then in verse 11, according to the internal purpose he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith. So we're moving away from the principalities and power, the thoughts of that. We're moving away from that. And now we want to look in a little bit on verse 12, looking at the access, our attitude, and where we're finding it from. So in whom we have boldness. The reason we have boldness is because we are looking, like in verse 11, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we can have boldness. It's because of his plan of salvation. It's because of his spiritual riches. We have this. We have this boldness because of his finished work. Okay? So we come to him because of his finished work, not because of our own selves, but because of him. And we can have boldness to come to that. And then we have access with confidence. Again, confidence and boldness, they're very similar thoughts, that we have boldness and we have confidence. By the faith of whom? What is our confidence in? Where does our confidence come from? Where's our boldness from? Let's name it. In whom? I'm sorry? Jesus. It's because of him. That's where we find access. That is the door. That is what opens the door. You know, who here has a key for the building? This church building, who has a key? I see one hand, there's a hand. Okay, who has access codes? Oh, there's lots of hands now. So you can't come into the building unless you have either a key or that access code. Can you imagine coming to a function here and you can't get in because you don't have either one? You'd feel a little left out. And if you wanted to get something from inside the building, you couldn't because you don't have access. That's what we're trying to describe here this morning with, we have access by faith to enter into the manifold wisdom of God and also the spiritual, the unsearchable riches. We have access to these unsearchable riches. What's our access code? I'm sorry? Jesus' blood, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our access code. So what was some of the questions we wanted to answer this morning? What are the unsearchable riches of God? Forgiveness of sin, mercy, long-suffering. Where are they found? In Christ. How are they accessed? In Christ. Those two questions are very similar. So we have access. We have boldness. We can come with boldness, and we have access with confidence to enter in. And our confidence is in Jesus Christ, not what these hands have done, but his death on the cross gives us access. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. I think we'll keep on going there. The next verse we want to dive into a little bit is, again, we see Paul's passion, Paul's love, Paul's concern, Paul's purpose. Therefore, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes out again here in verse 14 that this was kind of the driving thing. This is what motivated Paul. And we see the reason we have a window into Paul's life is because he was, in a sense, this is going to be from now to the end of the chapter, it's kind of his prayer that he's longing to see this taking place in the church of Ephesus. And I found it interesting that we get to kind of like zone in and see and understand Paul's passion because of his prayer. And I had to wonder, wow. When you pray, are your passions being revealed? Think about this with me. When you pray, are the drivers, or the passion, your heart, are they being revealed by words? I think so. And I found it really interesting. Well, we can kind of understand where Paul's at, what he's thinking, what's going on. But what happens when you and I pray together? Isn't that interesting how that when we pray together, we hear each other's passions. We understand what's making your makeup of the week, what's your burdens, what's going on. And then there's a connection made. Let's keep praying together so that we get a window into each other's vision, passion, drive. Paul's passion was for the church at Ephesus. Paul's passion was for others. And his encouragement was that they don't look at his suffering like it says there in verse 13. Don't be worried about my tribulations. My concern is for you and that you would continue to grow. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven is named. And verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So now I'm shifting to the theme here in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So here again, the word riches, unsearchable riches. Here might be another, this might be another unsearchable riches here in verse 16. And what is the unsearchable riches? Riches of his glory, to be strengthened. When you are strengthened, is that a benefit? Does that enrich your life? Is that a richness? When you're strengthened in the inner man, that's one of those unsearchable riches. Who here would enjoy the Christian life without being strengthened in the inner man? Can you imagine the Christian life without that benefit of living your Christian life without being strengthened in the inner man, without that inner peace? This is unsearchable riches, brothers and sisters. This is good stuff. Strengthen with might. Where? In the inner man. How? Where's our access? How are we strengthened in the inner man? By doing a lot of good outward things? See some of you shaking your head. What? How are we strengthened? How are we strengthened in the inner man? It's by the Spirit. How does the Spirit have access to us? So we have access to the Spirit. How does the Spirit have access to us? Does he have access to us? How does the Spirit have access to us? That's a question that can be answered. How does the Spirit have access to us? Well, let's use the little meditation this morning. Did the Spirit have access to Jonah when he turned his back and headed toward Tarshish? Did the Spirit have access to Jonah? Lyndon thinks yes. What do you think? Did the Spirit have access to Jonah? I think I know what Lyndon's thinking. Yes, there was access. But this is where I was going with my thought. The Spirit has access when we come to him like this. And I don't think Jonah was like this to God. He was like this. See, and this is how we can have access to the Spirit, is when we have this posture. And then when we have that posture, we are strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. But if we ever have the hide, or like very, very good with the meditation, we don't have access. The Spirit doesn't have access to us, and we don't have access to the power. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. It's in His presence where we have that access. There again, we're answering that question. Where is it found? It's found in Him. And how is it accessed? In Him. He is the passcode. Christ is the passcode to enter in, to take advantage of these spiritual riches. But again, you know, you go to the bank and there's that vault in the back, and there's just tons of riches in there. Or I assume there was. Has anybody ever been in one of those? I haven't. It always looks like there's plenty of riches in there. What do you think? I'm guessing it's not fake. I'm guessing they invest. I'm assuming there's riches in there. But if we don't have access, and if we're not aware of those riches, if we're not aware of the riches, and if we don't know how to access them, what's the point? And that's Paul's passion, is that you and I and the church at Ephesus would know that there are riches, there are spiritual, unsearchable riches, and that we can have access to them. How? Through Christ. That you may be strengthened in the inner man. Just as I am, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come hungry to be filled. That's how we access them. Now on to 17. Again, this is Paul, his desire, his passion, his heart, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There is another access code. How do we access Christ? Is it by doing the works of righteousness? Or how do we access, especially in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? How does Christ dwell in our hearts? By faith. So, the way to access these unsearchable riches is by faith. When we think of all the men and women in Hebrews 11, you know, they only accessed the mighty workings of God when they obeyed God, and they did it by faith. By faith, Abraham left his country and gained a new one. By faith, Moses chose the unsearchable riches of Christ and forsook Egypt. It's by faith he entered in. And that is one of our access codes. It's by faith that we can enter in and experience and know the unsearchable, the unfathomable, the uncomprehendable riches, the spiritual riches of Christ. So it's by faith in Him. Now let's look at the the foundation that you and I can experience when we put our faith in Him, being rooted and grounded in love. When we believe that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, it enables us to have boldness and access with Him with confidence. Christ dwelling in you, if Christ is in your boat, you will have storms. But when you call upon Him, He can calm your storm. Talking about that, unsearchable riches. Talking about having peace in our lives. How is all this activated in the Christian life? It's by faith. Jonah, when he was in the belly of the fish, there was no experiential thing that he was experiencing more than seaweed and whale guts. That was his experience. Did you ever feel like all your experiences is whale guts? Or do you feel like you're swimming around with a bunch of other fish that don't know where they're going and what they're... But it's in that moment that Jonah recognized that, you know what? My only hope is on Him. And so by faith, Jonah calls out in his experience, he calls out by faith, and he was delivered from the other fish that were in that belly. He was delivered from whale food. He was delivered. Access by faith. And so his experience turned from a gushy, floating experience to being spit out on solid ground, rooted and grounded. Now, I know he was just spit out on the earth, but isn't that an interesting picture? Here he was in a really bad experience, but he called upon the name of the Lord and he was saved, and then he was rooted and grounded. Brothers and sisters, if you ever feel a little loose-footed, or if you ever experience like you're just really not getting anywhere, call upon the name of the Lord by faith, and may your experience change. See, that's the beautiful thing, that it's not just by faith. Yes, it's by faith, but it's the first step that takes, it's the first step that when we take the first step by faith, then we can become rooted and grounded. And our rooted and grounded is based on what God does in our circumstances. Just like the men that were in the boat with when the storm came and Jesus was asleep. Their experience was really bad. Their experience was not something they wanted to be a part of. But they, by faith, called on the Lord. And it changed their experience. Things became stabilized. Things became rooted. Things became grounded. Oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded. Being rooted and grounded in what? In His love. Oh, that you and I may be rooted and grounded and having that sure foundation. And that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. I think we'll go on to verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And as I looked at this verse in verse 19, again, it kind of left me with, here Paul wants us to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. He wants us to know something that passes knowledge. How do we get there? How do we understand something that passes knowledge? Paul wants us to know something that is past knowledge. He wants us to understand the mystery. This is another picture of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It passes our understanding. It's unfathomable. We don't understand some of the depth and the height of the love of God. We don't understand it. But Paul wants us to know it. Paul wants us to experience it. And again, do you think Jonah experienced the love of God after he called upon the name of the Lord by faith and his feet were again on solid rock or ground? Do you think he experienced the love of God? I'm sorry? I think, too, he experienced the love of God. So, did he experience the love of God prior to that experience? Probably not. So, again, we access these unsearchable riches by faith. And when we access them, we get to experience things. We get to experience knowledge that passes our understanding. So if you ever want to understand the mysteries, and if you want to connect with knowledge that passes our own comprehension, I'm suggesting to you, brothers and sisters, that the only way we can experience that is by faith. If we pursue it in our natural mind, if we pursue it in our own intellect, I don't think we'll experience the knowledge which passes understanding. But it's when we step out by faith and the Lord moves, then we experience His love that goes to the depth of the hell, that reaches to the highest of heaven, that goes across the whole world. We get to understand that element of who God is. Oh Lord, would you grant us to know experientially this love of Christ that passes our own understanding, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, which is accessed by Christ through the Spirit. This is accessed by faith in Christ through the Spirit. Verse 20. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here it seems like it's an unsearchable, it seems like an, again, just, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly. If that isn't enough, exceedingly, exceeding our expectation, exceeding what we ever thought, abundantly. That's not enough. Above. What? This is the mystery. that we would understand the breadth, the height, the depth, the length of the love of God. And that it could be exceedingly, abundantly, above. And see, this is where faith comes in. Above what? Exceedingly more than what? The answer is in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we what? We ask or even think. See, this is where faith gets really engaged. Because we ask and say, we might ask and say, well, I don't like this seaweed around my neck, like Jonah. Well, God says, well, that's not where I want you. Bloop. I want you on dry ground. I want you to head towards Tarshish. Get to it. See, this is above and beyond what we think. And the only way to access these things is by faith. And we enter in by faith into Christ. Not into our own intellect. Not into the own things that we bring to the table. See, this is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Far above what we can ever ask or think. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. That's a big God, isn't it? Hallelujah. And when this is working in our hearts and our lives, let's finish verse 20. According to the power that worketh in us. And that power comes from the Spirit and through the work of the cross. It's when we surrender to the Lord and the Spirit works in us, then we have that power that works in us. And then when all of these things are working, this is where the beauty comes together. Is when we experience some of those things. And like verse 10, the principalities and powers in heavenly places. See, when these things are accessed by faith and we are experiencing these things, just like the story of Jonah, there the principalities and powers of the heavenly places saw the power of God working. It passed knowledge. It passed our understanding that Jonah could go into a belly of the fish. That makes natural sense. But God puts him out on dry ground. See, and that's how the heavenly places are communicated. This is above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. And then when that happens, when a man in the belly of the fish by miraculously is spit out on the dry ground, the glory goes to who? The man in the fish? Does the fish get the credit? Does the man in the belly get the credit? Who gets the credit? Shout it out. Who gets the credit? Hallelujah. All glory unto him, verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The heavenly places, I mean the principalities and powers, are seeing the unsearchable riches of Christ in heavenly places. They're seeing these things happen. And the glory goes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's done by you and I stepping out in faith and accessing it by the power of Christ. Oh, that you would understand this unsearchable riches. That it would pass our understanding and that we would step out in faith. And not in our own intellect, but calling upon the name of the Lord and see what happens. So let's see if we can answer these questions. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? We named them before. Let's just name them at the end here. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Maybe we discovered more as we went through this lesson, but let's just name them out again. Eternal life. You are no longer dead. Someone else. Oh, but you will, brother. Sorry, I want to contradict you. Huh? Yeah, you will. Yeah, it's not about you. But as long as you have the grain of a mustard seed and you put confidence in Christ, that's enough. But maybe I missed you. But that's an unsearchable riches. What else? God's incredible love for us. His long suffering. His forbearance. Any more? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that passes our comprehension. Peace that we don't understand. Hallelujah. All right. And where are they found? Where are these unsearchable riches found? In Christ. And how are they accessed? Through the Spirit, but first, faith. Faith opens the door for the Spirit to come. See, it's that active faith of saying, Lord, here am I. And then the Spirit comes. And then we have access. And then we can walk. Hallelujah. Do we understand why Paul was so passionate about this? That we would understand and know. Because it's the power, it's the foundation that equips us to be able to walk out into this dark world and live a holy life. All we need is... I need it. I am a man like you that goes out into this world and I think like a natural man way too much. The Sunday school lesson was for me. I live in the natural too much. But by faith, I want to learn to understand the unsearchable riches of God. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Where are they found? How are they accessed? May you be strengthened and be faithful to his calling because of his great love to wherewith he has loved us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for attention. Thank you for your interaction. Thank you for your prayers. God bless.